I'm going to read a little bit, then I'll give you the title of this message. Or I don't know if it's really a title. It's just what's on my heart. There's no mistake what God's having me preach this morning. There's no mistake that you're here. I wasn't even supposed to be here. I was supposed to be in revival this week over in Ottawa, Tennessee. But some things got turned upside down, and the pastor asked me if I could come in a couple of weeks instead of this week. And I said, yeah. And then God really flipped me upside down of where we're at in the church. So this message is for the church today. It's something that's needed in our church very badly. And it's also going to be a tool. So if you have this, if you have people that you're trying to minister to about salvation, please use this tool, the recording that we're going to do today, to lead them to that. And it's also going to be a tool to help our church today. We're going to be a better church at the end of the service. We can be. Amen. Y'all, let's read and we'll get there. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it up. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? My thought today is my two biggest fears as a pastor. That's the title, my two biggest fears as a pastor. My two biggest fears as a pastor, can I be real honest with you about one that I'm not telling you about, a personal one, is my performance won't meet your expectations. I'm getting over that one. Amen? I'm getting over that one. Because that's an expectation I'm never going to be able to adhere to for everybody. So, as time goes on, I'm starting to realize the more gray hair I get, I really don't care as much. I'm just going to preach what God tells me to preach. And I'm going to preach it in a way that He'd have me to preach. And matter of fact, it might be better if you don't like it sometimes. Sometimes. Amen? But my two biggest fears as a pastor is you won't be saved. You'll come to this church. You'll participate in things that we do. You'll be in services where adults get saved, where kids get saved, teenagers get saved, college-age people get saved, and there'll be a fire. There's a fire. There's a revival going on in this church. We've been growing spiritually and physically for almost 3 years. But I'm afraid that there'll be some people sitting in the midst of this, and they won't be saved. They'll be a part of the church, but will not be a part of the real church. That's my biggest fear. That's my biggest fear. I went to a spiritual church when I was growing up over in Charleston, Tennessee. And looking back, all of the kids my age, none of them were saved during that time. We all got saved in our 30s and 40s. Amen? And I thought, man, when we were going there, we thought it was a great time. And it was. It laid a foundation, if you will. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to lay a foundation for you. I want you to get Jesus while you're here. The other part of this, the second biggest fear, is you'll get saved, but you won't live like it. You won't act like it. And sitting under my preaching and my teaching, and I'm given the authority of this church and given the responsibility of this church, and you'll act like somebody who's not saved. You won't know no better. That scares me to death. That scares me to death. That some people say, I just don't know what I'm doing. Amen? So Jesus, I like this part in 8 when it says, if you'll go back up, this is one of my favorite parts in verse 8, Luke 8, verse 8, and in the middle of that it goes, and when he had said these things, he cried. You know what I mean? He practically yelled. So if Jesus yelled, I can yell sometimes. I kind of like that. Yeah, some of y'all don't. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said this really loudly. If you have ears, please hear what I'm saying to you. There was a big crowd gathered together, kind of like this, a crowd gathered together. And he is saying the same thing I'm saying. Please hear me this morning. Hear, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying this because I want to say it. I'm saying it where it'll change your life. Verse 11, he said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to shoot you straight this morning. When you leave here this morning, you're going to know whether you're saved or not. You're going to know where you stand with God. And then it's going to be up to you what you do with it. Back then, they had a different process of sowing seed. I don't think it was very logical, but they did it anyway. Guess what? The gospel is not very logical, but Jesus does it anyway. See, they plowed up the ground, but then all of a sudden, even when they didn't plow up the ground, they threw seed everywhere. Stony ground, weedy ground, plowed ground, hard ground, just throwing it. And guess what? It reminds me of the gospel because you're the ground. Everybody sitting in here, you're ground this morning. And guess what? We're going to throw the Word of God on you. And it's up to you whether it gets in you. But he told them right off the bat, guess what? There was some ground that was too hard. Some of you are too hard. You've got a hardness built up against God and against people. And guess what? The seed falls on you, but it never penetrates. You keep coming back to church and you can't understand why everybody's making a big deal about. Why is everybody crying? Why is everybody shouting? Why is everybody happy? Why is everybody talking about this Jesus? I just don't get it. Because that seed falls on hard ground and you walk out of these doors and guess what? Satan, like a bird, comes by and swoops it up and it's gone. And you get in your car and you're back to living the life that you were living before you got here and not thinking about the things of God and you were like, man, I just don't get it. That seed's gone. And man, that seed's gone. Can I tell you this? That happened to me. Probably my whole teenage years. Man, I went to church. I mean, man, good preaching, good teaching, good singing. I mean, good fellowship, good youth group. Man, we went everywhere and done everything. And every time I left, whew, man, I had some emotional times. I had some moments. But I'd done what everybody else was doing. I said what everybody else said. I did the things that everybody else. I slept with people. I drank alcohol. I did drugs. I did all of it. And guess what? Didn't care. Because guess what? Every time I walked out of here, every time I walked out of the church, the devil came by. And he just scooped it right off my head. When I was sitting in here, I said, "Woo, that's good. That's good." When you're standing by the fire of God, it feels good. But what's better than that, when you leave here, if you take him with you? Because if you don't take him with you, he remains here with the people that believe in him, and you leave without him. And then you're standing out there going, I wonder why, man, when I was at church, I felt so good. I prayed, I read, I said, I was just right there with him. No, you were in the presence of God. He wasn't in you. Have you found yourself there before? I did, tons of times. Can I be honest with you? I'm going to shoot you straight this morning. I've been every one of these grounds. In my lifetime, I've been every one of them until I got saved. And I got that last one. And praise God, I've never been the same. Amen? I want you to get this. I want you to hear it. Then they on the rock, they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. Golly, this is me big time, man. That's me my whole high school years. I mean, the seed fell on me, and I received it with joy. Can I be real honest with you? Can I tell you some of the stuff I did? My mom and dad were separated. I made a profession at church in Charleston, Tennessee, And I went home. God, I wish I didn't tell. God, don't have me tell this stuff. I'm going to tell it anyway. And I went home and I destroyed all the magazines. That's all as far as I'm going. That's all I'm saying. Threw them all away. Burn them. Burn them. Burn them. David, burn them. Watch the fire. Whew. It's being real. I mean, I don't know. Y'all don't like real, but that's who I am. Told people. Two of my best friends, Steve and David Good, I said, come over to the house. I got to tell you something. Sit on the back porch. I told them, man, God's good. God is awesome. I mean, this weekend at my dad's, I went to an old-fashioned altar and I prayed. And, man, I think everything's going to be different. They're like, man, that sounds great. I went to school on Monday. And the devil was pushing and pulling at me. And I could have stood up and said, I'm going to serve God. But man, just like this flower that grew on a rocky place, I withered away like nobody's business. I withered away. When I could have been somebody for God in my school, and when I could have ministered to lost people in my school, I withered away. I mean, the heat was turned up, and I got persecuted. I heard you gave your life to Christ. I heard you're serving God. No, man, what are y'all doing? I've been that guy. When persecution turns up, when the heat of Christ, see, when the heat's turned up on you for serving God, you're not going to be able to stand right away. You have to reach down and you got to have roots to draw up the moisture. That living water, that Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is moist. It's wet. He dwells in non-dry places. Never mind. You'll be surprised when you're a real Christian, when you've been born again. You'll think you'll wilt, but all of a sudden, when you bow down, all of a sudden you'll reach down deeper into something you didn't even know you had, and you'll be given answers that you didn't even know that even was available to you. But I've been that ground where when I went back into places and I could have took a stand for God, I just withered up and went away. I was like a flower or a tree on rocky ground. I couldn't stand the heat. I would change. And let me say this, by the way. If that devil keeps snatching that seed off your head, I'm going to say this very clearly to you, and you keep wilting under the pressure of standing for God, you're not saved. You're not. Most preachers won't tell you that. We won't say that in modern church anymore. But if the devil keeps taking the seed away and you keep wilting under the pressure of standing for God, you're not saved. That's what this means. Verse 14, and they that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and choked and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Golly, that was me too. Man, I'm telling you. I wanted everything the world wanted. When I thought I'd get out here the word, man, and I'd get down there and I'd receive it with joy. Man, that's good. I need to serve God. I need to follow Him. I need to do more. I want to do more. But guess what? I'd go out into the world, and man, I want that girl. Got to have her. Woo. I'm sorry. Some of you, I got to have that guy. Woo. God, I got to have that car. If I don't have that car, I'm not going to be satisfied. Some of y'all need to really check up and see if you got saved because you're still trying to seek through the world to find everything that's supposed to bring happiness but never satisfies. Oh, I need that phone. If I don't get that phone, you'd be surprised. There are people that are happy with flip phones still because they're happy in Christ Jesus. They're happy in beat up trucks. They're happy in poor homes. They're happy with just enough to get by because they're happy in Christ Jesus. Aren't you tired of hoping that next thing comes along? That next relationship, that next home, that next car, that next set of clothes, that thing. Oh, that's really going to set it off. That's really going to change everything. And next thing you know, it's outdated and dilapidated in a week or two and you're disappointed in it because it didn't change anything. You're still lost. That's why. You can be happy in Christ Jesus with everything or with nothing. Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. That means I know how to get everything and I know how to lose everything and still have Christ Jesus. This is my favorite one because I've been this ground too. No, can I change that? I am this ground today. I am. Amen? This is where I'm at today. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So another scripture in Mark, it says some bring 30, some 60, and some 100. God, wouldn't you farmers like to have 100-fold? Never mind. That means everything you put in, you get 100% of your crop back. Amen? But listen, I'm glad to be a Christian that's 30. I'm glad to be a Christian at 60. I'd be happy with being a Christian with just one little fruit hanging off the vine. Amen? Amen? Christians bear fruit of Christ. Christian, you're not saved until somebody else sees the fruit of Christ in your life. They were called Christians at Antioch first. They were called. They didn't call themselves anything. Somebody looked at them and said, "You're acting like little Christs. You're acting like little Jesuses." That's what the fruit of God looks like. I've preached this so many ways, but God told me to preach it this way because this is the second part. If you're anything but a bearing fruit Christian, you're lost this morning. If you die, you will bust hell wide open. That's a fact. If that's never got in good ground and changed you, changed your attitude, your aptitude, the way you love people, the way you forgive people, the way you treat people, the way you go about business, the way you share the gospel, the way you want to share Christ, if that hasn't happened, it hasn't happened. Stop telling people that you have something that doesn't belong to you. Now I'm worried, my second part. I'm worried about our church. We're growing. We're almost baptizing or asking somebody to join a church every other week or every other month, and it's happening. But I start hearing these little rumbles and little things that are coming through the vine, and I believe a lot of times the devil brings them to me, but I'm sure that God brings me some too. Church, if we're not careful, we won't love right. If you got saved and you don't know how to love, you look gross to God. You say, "What do you mean, love?" When you get Christ and He saves you, you no longer love like the world loves. You love people despite of what they do for you. You love them despite of how they treat you. You love them despite of what they're doing. I think one of the biggest problems in our church right now is there's some people who come to this church and you're against the people. You're against the people of God. You think your biggest enemy, your biggest problem, your biggest issue is somebody in this church. Your biggest complaint is they do this or they don't do that. They think like this, they think like they did this, they did that. You know what? The devil loves that. He loves to sit back and go, "Watch, they can't even love one another. How in the world are they going to reach the world? How are you going to love a stripper, a dope dealer, an addict, somebody who just needs Christ, if you can't even love your brother and sister who you sit in here with every week? Spend most of your time riding home talking about, did you see so-and-so? Did you hear so-and-so? Did you think about so-and-so?" You think God's in that? He's not in that. Would you want somebody to do that to you? If you see such flaws, why aren't you praying for those people? Or if you're so critical, why don't you just say, instead of being critical, why don't you say, "God, help them and help me love them where they're at." And this goes for all ages. All the way down from 9 to 16 to 17 to 18 to 20 to 30 to 40 to 80. We got a youth group in this church. When's the last time you prayed for somebody in your youth group and said, "Hey, I'll love you despite, I might be mad at you, but I'm going to love you. I might be aggravated with you, but I'm going to love you." Let me get to the next one. How about just forgiveness? Have you forgiven anybody in this church for anything they've ever done to you? We got a youth group. We got young adults. You wonder why the power of God won't fall. The reason the power of God won't fall is you won't forgive. You won't get over. You're rehearsing things that's happened to you over the last year. She did this to me. I'm not going to talk to her. He done this to me. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm going to do this. And you're going week in and week out, and you're coming to church, but you don't even know what the church is about. The church is about loving and forgiving each other. Church is on fire. Yeah, church is on fire, but we can't forgive one another. You're still mad at somebody that did something to you 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. One of the biggest fruits on the tree of a Christian is being able to forgive. I don't feel like it. Yeah, I'm going to go there. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. You know where he said that at? Does anybody remember where he said that? Forgive them, Father. He's talking about you. He's talking about the Roman soldiers. He's talking about the religious elite. He's talking about every soul on the face of the planet. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. You think Jesus felt like it? You think he felt like forgiving us? You don't have to feel like it to forgive. You just have to do it. Sometimes you just got to say, God, I'm going to forgive them. And man, I'm going to forgive them. And I'm not going to bring it up anymore. How about a little joy? Just a little happiness. Man, sometimes people get around you and you'd think there's more wrong than there is right. Just some joy. Man, God's good. Could be a whole lot worse. The gospel or Jesus. Can I give you all the example of fruit and kind of tell you what fruit is? When I came up here to be in full-time ministry down the street, I lived in an apple orchard, right in the midst of a big apple orchard. And I give this example. The fruit on those trees were apples. If somebody had wrecked and been destitute for months out in the wilderness of, Walden's Ridge, if they had crawled out of the crevice and crawled out and found those apple trees, you know what those apple trees would have represented to them? After about a month, somebody said it, life. They would have said, oh my gosh, I'm saved. Amen? I'm saved. I found an apple tree. It's got water. It's got nutrients. It's going to help me. I get saved. Apple. Just an apple. Amen? As Christians, we stand where there's lost people and we present Jesus Christ. If we ain't got Jesus on our tree, we got something wrong. Amen. Lost people should come to us. We should be able to say, hey, there's a way out of that. There's a way out of that. Jesus will save you. Then you take somebody who's maybe got lost and they're out there for a couple of weeks. They're not dying, but they've seen that same apple tree. That same one. Same apples. What is it to them? It's just going to keep them healthy. Maybe fill their belly. You know what I mean? It's rescue. Some people don't need saving. They just need reminding. Never mind. Some people don't be saved. They just need to be reminded. Man, God's good. Amen. I got lost. I got out here. I didn't lose my salvation. I just got drifting out in the wrong places. And I found Jesus again. Guess what? That same tree, same apple. Amen? I'm the same Christian, same Jesus. You got some people who are just riding around on the Sunday drive. Amen? Ain't ate all day, and guess what? They roll up on that same apple tree. They pick one off there, and guess what that is to them? Man, God's good. I just like him. I love apples. I just want to have apples. It's good. Amen? Especially this Honeycrisp. It's good right here, right? And then there's another form. This is one of my favorites. There's another form of apple. It's called pie. Amen? If you want to know my secret, now listen to my weakness. There's two weaknesses I got. I ain't going to tell you the other one because it's really truly my weakness. But Dutch apple pie is my favorite. Amen? Now don't you go crazy and make me. I'm trying to eat better. Amen? But Dutch apple pie is the best dessert on the face of the planet with some ice cream. All right? Vanilla. Okay. But see, listen, Dutch apple pie won't save you. It won't rescue you from being lost. And it won't just, satisfy you on a day trip. It's just good. Amen? And you know what? That same apple that was on that tree that saved somebody, that got somebody from being just in the wrong way, and that just satisfied their hunger, there's something in Jesus Christ that we need to have as a church. We need to be happy and excited and have the dessert of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people should just cause us from being crazy. because we're laughing and we're smiling and we're in the climate of 2018 in this world. People say, man, why you got to be happy about it? Why you got so much joy? Why do you think everything's going to be all right? Because we're closer to heaven than we've ever been. And Jesus is sweeter to me today than he ever was. Amen? Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. I want you to hear what I said earlier in this message.